Hello and welcome to episode 8 of my very own podcast. This is John Book, and thanks for listening. Now, I know that most weeks you expect witty repartee, music reviews, fascinating interviews, and this week you'll have none of that because I'm here in the studio ready to talk for a full half hour, or however long it takes, about the Oscars. This is our Oscar special, and welcome. If you don't care about the Oscars, if you don't like cinema, this is probably not the episode for you, but I have had a long, ever since the beginning of my life, really, love affair with the Oscars, which really makes no sense because in the ultimate scheme of things, they're kind of meaningless. But I remember watching them even as a kid. I remember when I was about 9 or 10 years old, being in a hotel somewhere. We were on holiday. It must have been spring break because the Oscars used to be in March. And we were in a hotel somewhere and they were on. The competition that year, I believe, was between Gandhi and E.T. It was kind of the two front runners for Best Picture, and I remember I'd seen E.T., but I may have even seen Gandhi at that point. My parents tended to like to introduce me to PG-rated, like, serious dramatic movies. They brought home Amadeus one night when I was 12, and Gandhi won that year, and I remember watching that as a kid, and I remember in high school, one year they awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award to Akira Kurosawa, the Japanese director, who I'd only had very passing familiarity with, but the montage of clips that they showed about his life, of clips from his movies, I found fascinating. I think you can find it on YouTube. And each of the films that they showed scenes from, like Throne of Blood and Rashomon and Ron and I think Yojimbi, The Lower Depths was there, Dodeskaden, they were really bizarre, and it made me want to watch them. So I started this interesting hobby of occasionally watching Kurosawa films. And I have long loved the art of cinema, even though I can't stand most movies. I think most of them are garbage in more ways than one. But I love the art of it, and even studied it at university. And, you know, the Oscars are a weird thing because ultimately it's, you know, mostly rich and successful people giving themselves awards for things that they've done this year. But I still find it fascinating, and I always kind of keep my eye on it. This will be the fourth year in a row that I've not been able to watch it, or fifth, actually, because I moved here in 2009, and I have no TV and no cable, and it's not usually online. But I've kept my eye on it, and here with me today to chat about it with me is Will Couchman. Hey, Will.
Hello.
Will, what's your Oscar history?
I think kind of the same as you. I was fascinated by watching the telecast when I was a kid and watching people get up on stage and cry and hold their golden statues, because I've always really enjoyed acting. So I remember watching as a kid and I was like, I want to be up there one day. And then I grew up, but that dream is still in there somewhere.
It still could happen.
It's just, I love the excitement of the Oscars, because especially when it's films you really care about and performances you really like, watching the categories and who's about to win can actually be a genuinely nerve-wracking experience.
Oh, yeah, totally. I remember I've definitely shouted at the TV before and gotten really excited or really sad when people that I wanted to win did or didn't win. Definitely is an emotional experience that ultimately is completely meaningless.
But you forget about it the day after.
Exactly. Yeah, it stretches me to remember who won last year, which was The Artist, by the way, in case you're trying to remember.
Last year was a little bit of a washout when it came to films, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember. So this is the third or fourth year, maybe, that they've done this 10 possible nominees?
Third, I think.
Is it? How do you think that's worked?
I actually quite like the fact that they've done that, because especially on years like this one, when you have so many good films come out, it's nice that 10 of them can get a Best Picture, not at least a recognition of how good they are. Because 5 films, if you have a good year, it's not very many.
So. Yeah. Now, the first 2 years they did 10, and this year and last year they've only done 9.
Hmm.
Right? So this year we have 9 Best Picture nominees.
Yes.
In case you didn't know, they are the French film Amour, Argo, Les Miserables, Django Unchained, Silver Linings Playbook, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Beast of the Southern Wild, Zero Dark Thirty. Now that is a really, really broad range of films. You've got a couple historical true stories, one from the 19th century, one from the 20th century. You've got magical realism, two, one big budget, one very small budget, Life of Pi and Beasts of the Southern Wild. You've got recent historical event. You've got a French film, you've got a musical, spaghetti western, a romantic comedy. Is Silver Linings Playbook actually funny?
Yes.
Okay, for adults. I've not seen it. So it's a really broad range. How personally, Will, do you pick?
Ooh, you mean who do I think is going to win, or how do I just rate the films?
How do you pick? Because ultimately, like, it's in some ways, it's comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah.
It's like saying, these are two things that are 90 minutes to 2.5 hours long. Let's pick which one is best. It's really arbitrary, but how do you pick in general?
I think with this one, the only way I can go is which film impacts me, like, the most, because they are about as different as you can get, because Argo is completely different from Lincoln or from Les Mis or Zero Dark Thirty. So I think it's films that resonate with me most is how I could pick, because you're right, because you've got probably the broadest spectrum of films that I've ever seen in an Oscar Best Picture list. So I have opinions about which one's going to win. But
which one impacted you the most?
It's kind of hard to say. I really like Silver Linings Playbook.
Okay.
I think it's probably my... I don't think it's the best film to come out this year, but I think it was probably my favorite.
Interesting. To me, Best Picture needs to have some sort of mark of transcendence. That's kind of... All the ones growing up were sort of big and epic and told these powerful stories that had, like, powerful moments that you walked away from them understanding more about life and what it meant to be human, and they tended to be really, really epic. I remember really vividly, I think it was 99, one of those years, when the competition basically came down to Titanic and L.A. Confidential, and all of these critics were saying L.A. Confidential will win, it deserves to win, the ground support for Titanic will fade, as often happens in an Oscar race. One front runner emerges and then it disappears. And then LA Confidential is the superior film. And I said to myself, that's never going to happen. Titanic is obviously going to win. And not because it was the better film by all the standards of acting and writing and all of those things, but because it had something really transcendent about it. At the end of the day, LA Confidential was just a really well-told cop story. But there was something like powerful and of the human experience in Titanic, and so I felt it deserved to win. I feel like over the last 5 years or so, they've sort of faded from voting that way. Recent winners don't necessarily have that quality. Even last year's The Artist was a nice movie, but I felt like they voted for it because it was about Hollywood and they liked seeing things about themselves up there.
It was a good film.
Yeah.
It was a very good film, but...
But I don't think it had that transcendent other that they used to carry in the 80s and 90s. Almost every winner had something like that. So, if you were voting, you would vote for Silver Linings Playbook.
For best film, no. I think that was the film that I prefer, but I don't think it was the best one. If I had to pick a winner for this year, it's going to come down to Les Mis or Argo, I think. And considering how things have been going, I think Argo's going to do it.
Yeah. If I was voting, I would say, by the qualities that I just talked about, that transcendence, I would either have to vote for Les Mis. Well, I could see Lincoln pulling a vote, or Life of Pi as well. But I do agree, I think Argo is going to win. It's been a really bizarre year, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So the front runner initially was Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
It won the first handful of critics awards before it had even been released.
Yep.
And then controversy happened. What was it? What was the movie really saying? Where did they get their information? And the front runner became...
Well, the front runner then became Lincoln, didn't it? Lincoln came out.
Had the most nominations. It looked like a real lock. What happened, do you think?
I think this is the funny thing about the Oscars and the way that they work is Zero Dark Thirty was the clear front runner. Before people had really seen it, they're like, oh, it's this amazing tense film about the hunt for Bin Laden. Yeah, we love that. And then when it came out, and they're like, oh, there's actually a lot of advocating torture in this one. And at that point, in order to appear more unbiased, I think a lot of them kind of said, okay, well, actually, we don't advocate what this film says. So at that point, the actual impetus for the film to win loads of awards back down, because for some reason, people thought if they voted for it, they'd be advocating its subject.
Right.
Matter.
Which the director says that she wasn't advocating torture at all. She was just telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it, so I don't actually know.
It is a very, very good film. Mm. especially, I know we're going to talk about the best actress race in a bit, but Jessica Chastain carries that entire film on her own. So it is. I do think it's a really great film, and you know that it's all going to come down to the raid on Bin Laden's compound. Even though you know how it's going to work out, it is really tense. So it's worth seeing just for the final, just for the final 50 minutes. I don't think it was the best film of the last year, so I wouldn't award it a best film.
Right.
I mean, it had some pacing issues for me, but if you haven't seen it, it's too much detail.
So, do you think this is? There's the Oscars is. In some ways silly because there's so much politics and who can afford to campaign the most and who does campaign the most. I know some people would say that in the best actor category, Joaquin Phoenix absolutely deserves to win, but he doesn't have a chance because he dissed the Oscars. So people aren't voting based on who they really thought was the best performance. They're voting based on which performance they liked the best and which person they liked the best or had the most press or the most popularity. And so I wonder, so this is the interesting question. Lincoln became the front runner shortly after, around the time of the Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
But that seems to have faded, where all of a sudden, kind of out of the blue, if you ask me, Argo has won like everything, won Best Picture, the BAFTAs, the Screen Actors Guild, the Producers Guild, the Directors Guild. Do you think that if they had nominated Ben Affleck for Best Director, that that would not have happened? Do you think that was a response to him?
I think it was a response. I do. I think they realized, I don't quite know why Ben Affleck didn't get a Best Director nomination, but I think when all the awards started piling up, because genuinely I think he did the best directing job of the last year, then all of a sudden the Academy, which of course includes a huge range of people, suddenly realized, oh, hang on, actually we made a mistake here, but we're going to press Argo forward to show that we do like it. Yeah, I think it's a political thing.
It's really bizarre. If he'd been nominated, they might not have won all this other stuff, and they might not fare so well at the Oscars. But because he wasn't, people feel bad for him?
I think so. I think there's. It's probably a lot more complicated than that. And I think there's a lot of, as you say, campaigning, and there's a lot of give and take with these things. So there's a lot of the politics of Hollywood go into it. I think that is the reason why Argo's come out so strong as a front runner, is because they overlooked Ben Affleck and realized they made a mistake.
Interesting. So, given that he's not in the director race, who would you vote for? And then who do you think is going to win?
Ooh, I think... at this stage, I think it would have to be Spielberg for both. Just because I think his directing job on Lincoln was amazing, because Spielberg, at his best, is... I remember somebody once said a director is kind of like a referee on a football pitch. The best ones are the ones that you don't see. And actually in Lincoln, he didn't do, because I'm big on camera work. Right. I didn't see him do anything in Lincoln that made me realize, oh yeah, this is a Spielberg.
Yeah, he didn't do a lot of his normal tics.
No, it was very subdued, very kind of pulled back for him. Yeah. And I think next to Ben Affleck, he did the best directing job of the year. So I think it's going to be Spielberg's year.
Yeah. I'd like to say, though, I think Ang Lee has not gotten enough praise for what he did with Life of Pi. I read that book, and anyone who read that book and heard they were going to make it into a movie probably would have thought, that's impossible.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I heard it, because I loved the book. And as soon as I saw they're making Life of Pi, I was like, I don't know how you could do that, because so much of the book is his internal dialogue. And actually, action-wise, not a lot happens.
Right. M. Night Shyamalan had it for a while, and I don't remember what happened there, but then Ang Lee took it, and I think he did an amazing job. It definitely deserves, in my opinion, the best cinematography of the year. The cinematography is gorgeous.
It will win that.
You think?
Yeah.
But I think he did a really good job with something that seemed impossible. But I agree, Lincoln was powerful. It was a very moving movie. Let's bring that then over to acting. Mm-hmm. Best actor.
You know that I'm all about Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, he is the front runner, I would say.
But he's won. I don't think any of the other actors, because besides Hugh Jackman for Les Mis, when they had the Golden Globes, because of course the Globes have actor in a musical, a comedy, and in a drama motion picture, I don't think any of the other actors have really beaten Daniel Day-Lewis. He's made almost a clean sweep of the awards so far, which is what he does generally.
That's true. He won for They Will Be Blood, which was 4 years ago.
2007.
Is that long ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he won in 2008.
Yeah. Okay. So 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think after having seen his performance and Hugh Jackman, so this is the only two that I've seen, personally, I would give the edge to Hugh. I feel like he had actually a tougher job. Daniel Day-Lewis was masterful, but he wasn't... He was technically masterful and fascinating to watch when he would, you know, start telling a story. And he reminded me a lot of my grandfather. But he wasn't...
Your grandfather was Abe Lincoln?
Yes. I'm that old. He wasn't as memorable or impacting. I feel like Hugh Jackman as Jean Valjean in Les Misérables.
That's the best French I've ever heard an American speak.
Well, no, it's not. Was much more memorable. He carried so much of that movie. I would give the edge to him personally. I don't know that he will win, but I would prefer to see him win.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I remember when I watched The Master when it came out, I've never seen Joaquin Phoenix do a performance like that. And I think it's almost like to say, were it not for Daniel Day-Lewis coming out with Lincoln, I think Joaquin Phoenix would be the frontrunner. Because actually, I think of all of these, technically, I think Joaquin Phoenix did the best acting job of this year. He was mesmerizing.
Yeah, I have a friend in the States who says basically what he did in that movie, Hugh Jackman and Daniel Day-Lewis couldn't hope to pull off.
No. It was almost like intense to the point where you're actually, you don't quite understand how someone can go that nuts and not actually go nuts.
Now, if I were the one picking the Oscar winners, I would give it to Hugh Jackman, but the consolation prize to Lincoln would be that I absolutely think Tommy Lee Jones deserves an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, I've thought about this one a lot, and I think in terms of, I think Best Supporting Actor and Best Actress are the two categories that could go any of the five ways that they're nominated in. I know that Christoph Waltz has won a lot for Django Unchained. He seems to have recently been kind of edging forward. I haven't actually seen Django Unchained, but yeah. I did think that Tommy Lee Jones in Lincoln was great.
He sort of provided an emotional connect point that I thought Daniel Day-Lewis was missing.
Mm. There was something about Tommy Lee Jones in that. But then again, you've also got, I mean, because everybody in this category in Best Supporting Actor, I'd realize just looking at the nominees, everybody is a former Oscar winner.
Yeah.
In this category, you've got Alan Arkin for Argo, De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, which I was
neither
glad
of them will win.
No, neither of them will win. I think if you were to put it down to three, the Academy loves Philip Seymour Hoffman.
It's true.
The Academy loves him. And then you've got Tommy Lee Jones and Christoph Waltz. So I actually don't know which way this is going to go.
Christoph Waltz is the most recent winner.
Yes. I think it's going to be Tommy Lee Jones, but actually this is the one category where I genuinely cannot pick a winner. It could be any of those three.
Now, I just want to say there's two scenes in Lincoln that really stood out. One, the one where they are putting him on the stand and trying to get him to say something really... really, I can't think of the word, like flagrant and provocative.
Yeah.
And he knows that's what they're trying to do. And that scene is brilliant. And then even the scene at the end where the bill is passed and he reacts and his walk home and watching people. And just thought he was brilliant in that. Let's talk about actress.
Yes.
I have seen one of these performances, and that would be Beast of the Southern Wild.
I haven't seen that.
She is... I think she was 6 or 7 years old when it was filmed. She's the youngest Best Actress nominee of all time. Her name seems impronounceable, so we're just calling her Q. And it was a weird movie. I have to say I expected to like it a lot more than I did, so I wouldn't give her the vote.
I haven't actually seen that. The ones that I've seen... I haven't actually seen The Impossible, I just realized. So I've seen Zero Dark Thirty, Jessica Chastain, and Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook. Mm-hmm. And I think up until this morning, I would have said it's between Jessica Chastain and Jennifer Lawrence. I really hope Jennifer Lawrence wins because she was my favorite, like, of all the acting nominees from last year. Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook was my favorite performance.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was brilliant in it. I read an article this morning that was talking about, on the IMDb, and praise Jesus for the IMDb, can I just say. There was an article this morning that was talking about, kind of the odds on favorites and what the odds are. Since Emmanuel Riva won the BAFTA last weekend for Amour, she's actually shot up to...
She win the BAFTA?
Yeah.
She won Best Actress?
She won Best Actress. She wasn't even present because she hasn't won anything else. Neither she nor Michael Haneke were present at the ceremony.
Right.
The ceremony, the awards, whatever you want to call
it.
But reading this article this morning, it said that her odds on to actually win have jumped up. And I know that when we talked about this in the past, you said because she's the oldest nominee of all time, this category has the youngest nominee and the oldest nominee, you think that actually possibly she might do it. And since the BAFTA win, her odds have gone way up.
Yeah, I have this... I don't have it as strongly as I did when the nominations came out, but I did have this feeling that Amour was going to sneak in there and take something. It sounds like a really hard movie to watch. You're basically watching an old man and the woman has dementia and she's fading to death and it's like extremely realistic. Yeah. And
well, if you ever watched the Michael Haneke film, you know exactly what he could do. So I don't know why I haven't got around to seeing Amour yet. I think I kind of missed it when it came out. So no, I don't think it's out on DVD yet. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't actually looked a whole lot into it, but there is a possibility now that Emmanuel Riva is going to sneak in and win the Best Actress award, but I hope it would be Jennifer Lawrence.
What I've heard, yes, you're wishing that somehow when she gets up on stage, she'll be like, I know that Will Couchman was pulling for me. Will, meet me.
Well, this is going on iTunes, isn't it? once it's in cyberspace, you never know.
I think from what I've heard, performance-wise, that Emmanuel Riva is the best performance, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. And then it's really up in the air. Who is going to win Best Supporting Actress? No one knows. Yeah, okay.
The joke in there being that it's going to be Anne Hathaway, and it will not be anybody else but Anne Hathaway, because she has won everything else.
I gotta say, she kind of deserves it, though. That she did an amazing job in Les Mis. Okay, let's talk about some random things now.
Ooh.
Random questions for each other. This is going to take the place of Top of the Head this week. These are all Oscar-related. So let's start with an easy one. Of the five Best Actor nominees this year, which of those roles would you have liked to perform yourself?
Lincoln.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're British.
So is Daniel Day-Lewis.
Is he?
Yes.
No, he's not.
He is. He was from my hometown, or from close to my hometown. He went to school in my hometown, at least.
Okay. He doesn't sound British, even when he talks normal.
Yes, he does.
Does he?
He sounds kind of like... He sounds like a much, much posher version of me.
So you would play Lincoln?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear your Lincoln voice.
Oh, no, I'm not allowed to do that, because I did it with Kelly up in Scotland. She told me that I'm never allowed to do it again, because it really annoyed her.
Ask me a question.
If you could have directed one of these films, which one would you have taken on?
One of the nine, or one of the five?
One of the nine.
I mean, yeah, I would have directed Les Mis. Although I think I would have been more natural at directing Argo. Just because it relates more to, as weird as that sounds, the direct experiences of my own life, having lived in Muslim countries and been around a lot of embassies and things like that. But Les Mis. I would have failed at it, but I would have loved to do it. Okay. What, in your opinion, is the worst Best Picture winner of your lifetime?
Crash.
Crash.
In 2005.
Why?
Here's the thing. I don't think it was a bad film. I just don't think it was Best Picture worthy. And from my lifetime, like the ones that I can remember, I don't remember any other film that I don't think should have won as much as Crash. I'm trying to remember what was the front runner of the film that everybody thought was going to win, because this was 2005. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I do remember watching Crash. I was like, Crash was not the best film of the year. Because everybody said, oh, it had a good message. I think everybody raved about the way it had the interlocking storylines. And I was like, but so did Magnolia, which was, that was a Paul Thomas Anderson film.
Yep,
wasn't it? And I thought actually that did a much better job at interlocking storylines than Crash did. So yeah, I'd say that's probably the
But Crash did a better job than Babel did, and I think that was nominated for Best Picture as well.
That was.
I really hated that movie.
I actually really like... I've blanked on the Inarritu, the director. I really like the films that he does. So I liked Babel, but yeah, it didn't do the interlocking storylines. It was really contrived the way that they came, the way that they came about.
I want to answer this question myself. Now, the easy answer would be to say Shakespeare in Love, but that's mainly because I'm still, 15 years later, super annoyed that the Weinsteins were basically able to buy Best Picture. When you talk about that transcendence, I mean, Saving Private Ryan absolutely should have won that year, without a doubt. But at the end of the day, Shakespeare in Love is a cute movie and whatever. So my real answer is The Departed.
I love The Departed.
Yeah, no, let me tell you why. Okay, so The Departed was basically a remake of a Chinese or Hong Kong...
It was a Hong Kong
film, which is China now, but anyway, film called Infernal Affairs, which I had actually seen, and I find it to be far superior. First, it has a better sense of style, like the cinematography is just... And especially the editing is really, really crisp. And also, I feel like the script is not in the like sense of like morally, but is cleaner, it's clearer. At the end, you go through this labyrinthine story of this guy who's a cop posing as a thug and a guy who's a thug posing as a cop and then trying to outsmart each other. And you kind of know, he kind of gives impetus for the thug to become good and sort of everything that happens in the end makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Scorsese muddled it, I felt like. I didn't feel like it was anywhere near as stylish. Like, it wasn't as fascinating to watch stylistically. It just seemed very average in that way, which is maybe my main complaint about most Scorsese films that I've seen. I don't feel like he has a voice or a style. Hugo was beautifully shot, but the other ones I've seen, I've been unimpressed.
Yeah.
And I know that. But then the other thing was, he added all of these dimensions to the script that, instead of helping it, I feel like muddled it. Like, making Jack Nicholson's character a real informant and all these other things, like, made it just confusing, where you didn't know why any character did what they did, and then the ending didn't make a lot of sense, and I didn't buy it.
I think the reason I rate The Departed so highly is simply because of Leonardo DiCaprio, because his performance in that is probably in my top five acting performances of all time. I think without his performance in that film, actually The Departed wouldn't have looked as good. But I think he made the film.
Have you seen the Chinese version?
Yes, I have.
What'd you think?
I really liked it too. I think there were some things that I think just didn't have the same impact in the Chinese version.
Did you see first?
The Departed.
Okay.
May well have been the influence. But for example, the scene, apologies for those who haven't seen it, where the main character, DiCaprio, in The Departed, and I can't remember the actor's name in Infernal Affairs, dies towards the end of the film. I thought the way that they did it in The Departed was so much better, because it really came out of nowhere. And it just, if you'd seen Infernal Affairs, you knew it was coming. I didn't know it was coming, and it was really kind of a shock.
But you did know it was coming because you'd seen The Departed version.
Oh, yeah, no, but what I mean is when I saw The Departed, I didn't know it was coming.
Mm. Okay, do you have a question for me?
Yes, I do. Favorite best actor winner of all time? Or favorite acting performance, because I know that's just kind of oddly specific.
Favorite best actor or acting performance of all time?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is my real answer. I'd have to sit down and think. But I was really happy, I do remember, because this was a tough year, I think the other nominees were included Ralph Fiennes for Schindler's List and Leonardo DiCaprio in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, which was his first nomination and an amazing performance.
Oh, yeah.
They lost to Martin Landau for Ed Wood, where he played Bela Lugosi, and at the time, I thought that was great. That was so far in the past. I don't actually know the answer to that question.
Mm. It is a tricky one. But I, yeah, no, I remember watching DiCaprio and What's Eating Gilbert. Great. Because he was 19 when he made that. And I think I was 19 when I saw it. I was like, he's got an Oscar nomination already. Well, like, or at that age, he had a nomination already.
It's
like
a stunning performance.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen it, he plays a learning disability, the brother of Johnny Depp's character. And, I mean, if you'd never seen him before, you would think, wow, they got a real... someone with this real disability to play this part.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, it's an amazing performance.
Yeah, there's a scene at the beginning when he slams his hand shut, and is it a mailbox?
I
remember watching that. It was really funny. Like, he made it funny in a way that wasn't offensive. So, yeah, so that was good.
Yeah. I don't know, otherwise.
I think I was really happy when Sean Penn won for Mystic River, Clint Eastwood film. I thought, but Sean Penn's one of my favorite actors, and in that year he came out with two knockout performances. One was Mystic River, which he won the Best Actor Award for, and the other one was 21 Grams, which was made by the same director who made Babel that we were talking about earlier. And I thought he was spectacular in both of them. So I was really happy when he won the Oscar that year, because I think Sean Penn at his best is just...
yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I think he could have won for... yeah, they tend to do everything the wrong year, don't they? Then they realize it. Like, Russell Crowe won for what? Gladiator?
Yeah.
He should have won the year before for The Insider. But then they realized that and they gave it to him for Gladiator. Who did you just mention? Sean Penn? He definitely should have won for the movie where he plays the convict on death row.
Oh, Dead Man Walking.
Dead Man Walking. I even think The Departed was a, hey, we've never given Scorsese an Oscar.
I did. But the thing that I remember about that is I remember watching the Oscar the ceremony, and you knew Scorsese was going to win because who came out on the stage? It was Spielberg
and George
Lucas,
and
somebody else, and they all basically like spread out on the stage, and it's like, well, this isn't even a real like a real category.
Hey, like, hey, buddy, come on up and get your award.
Yeah, it's basically like we've never given you an Oscar before. Here you go. And like only other nominees knew they weren't going to win.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah,
I think I did get emotional the year that. Denzel won, and then also Halle Berry at the same time. It was the first two, like, African best actor and actress.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Okay, we need to wrap this up. So the Oscars are in 10 days. We'll see if our predictions come true. And thanks for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tune in next time where I talk about something completely different with someone completely different. Bye.